Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Rosecast, still the number one Bachelor Recap podcast, hosted by male and racial best friend duo. Thanks to you, the Refer a Friend Month participants.
September to remember.
Yeah, sorry, sales event. Okay. Sorry. that was the whole joke of it, too, was I forgot the joke. Thank you. We appreciate anybody who sent in a screenshot or an Instagram story. Keep in mind, it goes on all month.
Something to remember, yeah.
Don't forget the September to remember sales event. Anyhow, we got two episodes to recap today, B.
Yep.
Overnight Dates Part 1 and Overnight Dates Part 2, which aren't even complete yet.
Can you believe the ending?
Yeah, I got some great gags on.
can you believe the ending? Why'd they do that?
You mean when Jesse sent that message to Gotham from an undisclosed location? He was like, who's that? Who's that villain with like the scarecrow?
He's like, it's a scarecrow. He's a scarecrow.
That's your nation. This is a message. That was the top three moment of the, that was one of my favorite parts of the two episodes, I think.
Why did they do that? Why was it so messy in there?
Well, they were getting ready. You know, they're mid-preparation. It was very funny that they were, this is so controversial and serious. We wanted to give you time to, like, prepare for it while simultaneously hyping it up like a pay-per-view fight.
But also not telling us anything to do with it, so we have no, how are we supposed to prepare for something when I have no clue what you're talking about?
I didn't watch the trailer, did you?
What's coming up next?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it. I have no idea what they're talking
about. Yeah, that's what everyone says. They're like, I still don't know what.
I have no clue what you're talking about, Jesse. How am I supposed to prepare for something you have told me nothing about?
Just get ready. Get ready.
Just get ready for anything.
Okay, let's get into the episodes. What do you say?
Sure. Can't waste time when you got 4 hours to recap.
Well, famous last words. We're not going to do everything in detail. We probably will. Although, honest to goodness, I did not take notes on the first segment of the first episode. So do you have anything on that? Refresh my memory.
The girls were just debriefing about everything. It was it was long. It was kind of, you know, what we've gone through. It was the teaser before the big match at the pay-per-view. That's what this was. It was telling you what had happened up till then. It's pregame. Yeah. nothing to see here.
Okay. Eric and Gabby daytime. So we're coming off a great hometown with Gabby and Eric. They met his dad. They shared with one another that they're falling in love with each other. And they when they were out at that real dinner with other patrons in the establishment.
Yeah, at the bar. The loud bar. Yeah.
They hop into a little lagoon. Did this remind you of a recent challenge episode? Because I recall a daily challenge that took place in one of these cenotes.
I knew that word because of the challenge, I think. I don't remember specifically what the challenge was, though. But yeah, this seems familiar.
I don't know much about cenotes. I'm more into C notes. $100 bills.
Okay. Okay. Cenotes look awesome.
I thought it was the same one. That's how similar it looked to the one they were at in the challenge. So Gabby, afraid to jump from the highest perch, which when you think about it, is a lot like falling in love.
They jump from a couple lower levels, easy, nothing to see here, you know, 6 feet, 10 feet. Then they go up to like 25 12. Feet.
they're equidistant.
They go up to 12 feet. And then that's when she didn't want to do it. I didn't think she was going to do it, flat out.
I didn't think she should do it. They spent
a lot
of time.
If you don't
want to
do something, just don't do
it. Just don't do it. Just don't do it.
That's the thing. If you're scared of something, just don't do it. This isn't going to help you in life.
Juice isn't worth the squeeze here. You could get seriously hurt.
People are always talking about overcoming their fears, like of heights and stuff. Like, why do I need to do that? Actually,
I'll just not be into heights. I'll just not do heights.
Not do that.
Easy. But they jumped eventually. There was a part where Gabby was narrating it as if it were like a nature documentary. She was like, you can see here the footage shows Eric once again being supportive. Especially she didn't have a telestrator. Afterwards, they're discussing Eric's hometown. Anything of note from this portion, the daytime portion?
Well, no. He talks about how it wasn't easy to be there just for so short, but he was glad that they got to meet him, and he really wanted her to be there with the family. I noticed she does a lot of running her hands through his tamed mullet. Did you notice that?
Oh.
That's something she does with him. Something to note. Keep an eye on that. Runs her, when they're talking, her hands are constantly running through his tamed mullet in the back.
There's nothing to keep an eye on because we've seen the full story. The story's over. I might never see these two in a date setting again, as far as I know.
That's true.
But at the time when you wrote that note, that was actually relevant. Yes. Keep an eye.
Gabby says tonight they're going to lay everything on the table. And is this basically hypes up the night. It's an important night, you know.
Yeah. The nighttime, speaking of. Big time Nick Vile stuff here from Eric. Basically the whole season, but especially here because he was just kind of mumbly and saying like, so freaking cool. Just like kind of... Just
one too many,
like Nick Vile.
One or two too many buttons, done. That's
well, I thought he was pulling that off. He had the romance novel cover.
That's fair.
Look. Hometown went well.
Said his family's obsessed with her. Mm.
Then Gabby goes into her explanation about how she grew up mostly on her own and meeting Eric's family was appealing to her. Eric says, wow, you're an amazing person. I'm in love with you. She tells Eric she's falling in love,
right?
With him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I tried to make sure I got all these right.
These are important. You have to realize with these two leads, they're coming off a I love you debacle with Clayton.
Oh, I realized that, and everyone who watched this realized that, because it was every 7 minutes it was mentioned.
especially
in the second episode,
yeah,
yes.
Especially with Rachel. You have to realize they're probably... I didn't think either of them would say I love you till the end because of that and because of what they were saying the rest of the episode.
So you're mildly surprised that Gabby said I'm falling in love with you but didn't say I'm in love with you.
I'm not surprised at all.
I think this was the season where officially...
I love you is going to be dead.
There's a separation now firm in Bachelor canon that falling is in bounds, in love,
absolutely.
And love are crossing the line.
Agreed.
The great beyond, the great
wall.
That's
exactly what I thought. Neither of them, even later, I guess we can talk about that later, but...
We'll get to it.
Yeah.
I tell you what, the Fantasy Suite card... Said from Jesse, it sure seemed to be in Chris Harrison's handwriting. I don't know if you noticed that. I don't know if they print those or what, but whoever writes those has a job for life with this franchise.
So is the card that Gabby got later from Eric. And we'll talk about that later, but she got the card after one of her other dates, and it was like, meet me on the bridge. Same exact writing.
Same, yeah.
Bubble-ass writing.
Anything on the Fantasy Suite?
No, I thought the accommodations were lackluster. All for everybody.
Budget cuts, yeah.
Nobody got anything good.
At least this
just
one had
normal.
A view of the ocean. I think Rachel and Tino didn't have windows.
I mean, usually they have like a hot tub in the room or they go to a cool location. They do cool stuff. Windmill or something. This is just a, you know.
Just a room.
Not the top suite, but maybe a suite. Definitely not the top suite. Definitely not the top suite.
Next morning, it started fun. It ended a little uneasily.
Mm.
Naturally, seen this a million times. I don't want to leave. That went so well. I'm uncomfortable with handing you off to another suitor immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I guess notable to the camera, Gabby says, I'm more than falling in love with Eric.
Yeah. They had the breakfast and then they were about to break apart. And I thought Eric was basically, he was begging her to say, I love you. Like he kept saying, I love you to her, hoping she would say it back to him. She wouldn't do it. And then she had to say to him, like, just trust me or some shit like that.
Saying it without saying it, you're saying?
She's like, just trust the process, basically. I can't say that. Because he kept saying it to her, and he'd, like, leave a little pause. He was hoping to get it back, and then she responded with, like, just, you know, hang with me here. I can't say I love you, basically, is what she was telling him.
Yeah. Well, they definitely had about four or five goodbyes. It was real, like, I'll hang up if you hang up. Type of just, you know, say goodbye and go on about your day. Rachel and Avon date. First cut to Tino, more like Zeno, bunch of Z's because I was bored by this segment.
We get it, Tino, you're struggling with this whole process. We get
he
it.
Can't imagine Rachel wanting to spend the night with someone else. Makes him want to throw up.
Mm-hmm.
Avon, on the other hand, happy as a clam to be going first. He's into this. This is a great setup for Avon. Jogging up. I think Rachel, oh, this is to the camera. This is the first of
about Clayton.
Two nights of Clayton was careless with the L word.
She talked about not throwing love around carelessly like Clayton did. I thought this meant she wasn't going to tell anybody.
That's what I assumed. Just play it safe.
Yeah, just don't do it.
Just don't do it. Jesse pops in on Tino, a little unplanned. What's going on, Tino? These two probably
this
hang.
Is
probably
just to stir things up.
Yeah. Tino is ready to blow a gasket. Then we're popping back and forth between this and Rachel and Avon's date. Tino's certain she's the future Mrs. Tino. Cut to Avon reiterating that he's falling in love with her. Tino tells Jesse he's been falling in love with Rachel for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
This was setting up for a situation where Tino like tries to stop an overnight from happening or something. That's where I thought it was going. Anything else on this?
No.
Okay.
I thought it was a worthless Jesse talk, but.
Rachel and Avon date nighttime. Rachel knew for sure at Avon's hometown that she was falling in love with him, but she's scared to tell him, or she was at that moment. Because of how it went with Clayton, how she felt blindsided by Clayton. So she, again, as a viewer, I'm thinking, okay, well, that means she's going to refrain from doing this.
She doesn't want to say I love you to anybody because of how it went with Clayton telling people he loved them.
This dinner on the beach felt very weird to me. It felt like a stage play with actors portraying a scene from The Bachelorette. They didn't seem like they knew each other. They both sounded like they were just saying lines. I think it was a situation, again, where Rachel was giving an unnatural speech because it sounded like The Bachelorette speech.
Yeah, now's as good a time as ever to say I'm just completely out on her as the Bachelorette. I don't buy anything she's doing. I really don't. I don't buy any of these relationships.
Even at this point.
No, this is me talking after I've seen everything. Both episodes.
Okay.
I think she likes Tino and she's legitimately faking with everyone else, even though she knows she doesn't like them. She doesn't like, there's no connection here with Avon. There never was.
Yeah.
You just called it stage acting, and I can see what you're talking about.
It just, can you genuinely see yourself getting all of it prior to that was what gave me that feeling too, but then she's asking him, can you see yourself getting engaged in 2 weeks? And we all know it's less than 2 weeks. And Avon responded in a way, he said, yes. I didn't think he seemed convinced that he was ready for that. This whole thing felt very strange.
Yep. I'm with you.
In a season full of similar scenes, this felt like the strangest one.
Avon says he's 100% ready for engagement.
And this ends with she's complimenting on various things and then explains each of the three dates. She explained her hesitation about saying using the L word because of what happened with Clayton.
Yep.
And how that was carelessly thrown around. But then she feels comfortable saying it to Avon. Now, she didn't say, I love you, Avon, or I'm in love with you, Avon. She says, I'm falling in love with you.
She said,
but I feel like you could have just not done any of it and avoided the possibility, because Avon might think now that he's the front runner or whatever.
What she said was, Rachel said on her last journey, the word love was thrown around carelessly. So I am comfortable saying, that was the same sentence.
Yeah,
love
so was
thrown around carelessly, comma, so I'm comfortable saying I'm falling in love with you. It's okay.
I guess I think her from her perspective,
that's misleading.
I think from her perspective, she's thinking, I really mean it when I say it to you, so it's okay. I think her line of thinking was.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll keep it moving.
I don't know. We're all bent out of shape. She's all bent out of shape about Clayton, and then she seems to be doing the same exact thing.
If it's of course not the same exact thing. Clayton, you'll recall, was the insanity of it was the public nature of saying all these things in a
group
setting
from the rooftops.
Was insane. And he was screaming it from the rooftops.
Yeah.
However, if you fast forward to after the next morning, they're in bed and they're exchanging comments. Yeah. And they're like, I'm falling in love with you. And he's like, I am too. And
I don't
she's
know.
Like, don't forget I'm falling in love with you. Like reiterating it in a similar way to when Clayton yelled it like a moron from while he's walking away from him and Rachel's.
You know
a
funny
date.
Thing about Clayton?
A lot of
the
things.
Facebook page we have for new people that join have to fill out like a little questionnaire. Like, do you agree to follow our rules? And then to avoid bots, we ask who is the last bachelor? 100% of people say Matt James. Like, I feel like I'm not joking you. I see all of the people that join and I see the responses. 100%. I have not seen a single Clayton. Clayton, correct me if I'm wrong, was the last bachelor, right?
Yeah.
People have wiped him off of their memory.
That's amazing.
100%.
What are the options? It's Matt Clayton and then his Colton.
There's no
the
options. You write, I think you write in.
Oh.
Or maybe it's options. Maybe that would make sense.
Options.
Must be options, and we don't have
even
the options picked.
So people aren't getting in.
I haven't seen anything but Matt James.
Well, it could be. The question also might read to some people as, what was the last season of The Bachelor you watched? And then they watched Matt James and said, I'm done with the franchise because of the debacle that season. And that's hilarious. Anyway, I'm not trying to equate the two situations here. It just seemed to me...
I'm not either.
It was odd to preface every moment like,
she
Clayton
said it
did
five
this,
times.
It was bad, exactly, and then do something, kind of get real close to the line without crossing it.
She
if
did it.
If I'm in
later.
That situation, she did, but if I'm in that situation, I'm avoiding, I'm staying as far back from the line
yeah,
so
I'm not
as to
that.
Prevent
yeah.
any possibility of this happening.
Yep.
I don't think it'll end up mattering. I think the finale will be, the storyline will be part of it, but I just was taken aback by that. Anyway, Tino and Rachel date. Tino seems to think everything's going great because they're not talking about the hometown. So as long as they never talk about that, they're just going to be, things are going to be great for them. How about this cenote session? Any notes on this?
I have this note about Rachel saying Avon is the full package. Did we comment on that?
Yeah,
any comment
little...
on the full package?
Rachel took care of the innuendo for the
Rachel
week.
Rachel said Avon is the full package and said it like that.
It's going to be hard to
and
top.
And then giggled.
It's
and
not
said
what
it was
you
hard
want
to
hear.
Top. I said it. I wrote here, excuse you? What?
Damn.
Anyways, back to Tino. Rachel said it was going to be hard to switch from Avon to Tino. And then they go horseback riding.
So there was a point when they were talking, this is meaningless, but they were talking at the cenote and Rachel said something to Tino.
Oh, they
like,
were at
it
the
feels-
cenote too?
Yeah, they were just sitting
I didn't even
on
notice. Okay.
The ledge. Yeah. She said, I feel so strongly about Tino, but nervous about it because of hometowns. Now, the part where she said because of hometowns was spliced in. They did not discuss family here. So, but as a viewer, if you're watching that and you think, oh, wow, she acknowledged how bad the hometown went and then Tino didn't say anything about it, it seems like, well, there goes that asshole Tino again. But they didn't talk about it here.
Yeah.
Nighttime?
Oh, Tino, before nighttime, Tino was, when they're having that talk, Tino talks about how she's being a little apprehensive. He notices that in Rachel. Rachel, to the camera, is mentioning how, basically telling us why she's acting the way she is, and it's because of the family. So that's what was on the horizon there for these two.
The nighttime portion, they're talking a little bit about Tino's hometown. Mm-hmm. Tino, sweaty.
Very
potential
sweaty.
New go-to sweaty meme. Nervous sweat could replace Jordan Peele. That's how sweaty he was. And he was wiping it, too. There's a lot of possibilities there.
New sweat meme.
Rachel wants to know if Tino can even propose without their approval. She mentioned something that Tino's dad said that wasn't aired about, I'm not going to disown him if he gets engaged. I'm just not going to accept it, which seems like pretty much the same thing. I mean, you're not going to actually disown him. He's like 27 years old, so it's too late for that. But
what does that exactly mean? Are you not going to the wedding? What are you doing?
He's just not. He's going to pretend it's not real, I guess. Which kind of isn't. I mean, in fairness to Tino's dad, these aren't real engagements. But anyway, Rachel runs through this scenario of, what if you propose, we get engaged, and we call them, would they be upset? And he says, no, they're just going to have to be on board with it. And Tino just doesn't like playing out scenarios unless they're scenarios that he wants to happen.
Well, he's big into just not talking about stuff and just, it'll fix itself.
It'll fix itself.
That's Tino's walking through life.
So they go for the second time this season from talking about how bad the family interaction was to, let's instead do this shiny object over here, which is, I love you. Tino says, I love you.
I love you, Rachel. I love everything about you. I'm so happy to say it. Rachel says, I love you too. A stunning moment. Excuse you? This is the second time in my notes I wrote, excuse you? What?
First time was about first time full was, package.
First time was when she said he has a full package. The second
I don't
time,
know if she said a full. I think that's important. I think she said he
oh,
is
the full yeah. package. But oh, she was looking at the camera like, you know what I mean.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
But if she said he has a full package, that would be
she didn't
important.
Say
they
wouldn't full say, package.
They wouldn't allow that. This FCC would step in. She should have seen it, my boy.
I wrote excuse you there, and I wrote excuse you here. Two stunning moments.
This is a pattern now. Hey, you know, could your family stand my presence? It's very concerning. They will have no choice. Also, I love you. I love you too. I've always loved you.
Eventually, they're going to see the woman I see, he said about his parents. That was, I see you as the future, and there isn't a reality that his parents won't get on board.
I mean, what, are you going to kick your dad's ass or something? You know, how is this going to play out? Okay.
Good
so
luck.
That's it. I mean, it's over then,
it's
right?
Over.
I mean,
yeah, the season.
Yeah, exactly.
The season is over. Rachel and Tino, as we expected, for weeks, maybe months.
Yeah.
Rachel and Tino.
He spoke it into existence.
He did. She didn't say I love you to the full package. She said it to Tino. I'll be calling Avon full
package. That has to be the
package.
Episode name now. Unfortunately, that has to be the episode name.
If Avon's on Paradise, I will be calling him the full package.
Who was it? Is that Lex Luger? Was
the
that
total
his...
package is Lex Luger. Which would have been good, too. He's the total package.
Yeah.
That would also be good.
Where were we? She's falling in love. She's in love with... She loves Tino.
She
Tino loves
him.
Her.
Doesn't love Avon. Doesn't love whoever the other guy is. Doesn't matter who the other guy is.
If you're Rachel or Gabby, and your Bachelorette origin story is what happened with Clayton, and the whole season has been people are throwing the L word around too frequently and easily, carelessly, callously.
Yeah.
And you say, I love you to Tino. I don't think you can go on the date with Zach at that point. Why even entertain the possibility? You love Tino.
I don't think she can say that. I don't know why she said it.
I also wonder if maybe the Zach date occurred before.
Yeah, that's possible.
I have some theories about Gabby's dates. I think those were way out of whack.
That's possible.
Chronologically. So maybe that's what happened.
Yeah, it certainly could be. Because, yeah, I mean, especially with how much she was mentioning it this episode. She brought Clayton up a handful of times about how she's not going to say I love you carelessly. And then she says I love you. That is a major spoiler for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
There's not much doubt in anyone's mind who's winning this anymore.
Tina's just so charming. You can't hold... That's a little sarcastic. All right, Gabby Johnny date. If there was any segment we could skip entirely, it would be the Gabby Johnny segment, I think.
Yeah. I mean, Johnny's saying stuff like she's the dopest girl he's ever hung out with. It's like, okay, bro, fucking get out of here. Drop the act and be serious for a second. We're not fucking...
I don't think it was an act. I think that's just who he is. He's just a guy who's just
hang 10. Gabby's a real good girl to hang 10 with. What are you talking about, buddy?
That's what we're talking engagements here of all time.
She's the dopest girl I've ever got to hang with.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about engagements here, pal. This isn't a hang.
Yeah. I love that moment. That was my favorite moment. Anyway, this breakup took forever. It was way too long.
Oh, I call them Johnny Bravo here. You remember Johnny Bravo?
I call them Johnny Tsunami.
Those are both good.
I don't think they have any similarities, but...
Do you remember who Johnny Bravo is?
Cartoon?
He's a Cartoon Network cartoon guy who's like basically the Fonz, but he's
big hair.
In a cartoon.
Oh, yes,
the big
I remember
hair.
Johnny Bravo, sure. my notes are, it took too long. Gabby was, frustrated that... At first, I think she was trying to like get him to believe in the possibility of engagement. He wasn't really picking up on those signals. She gets up, walks away. She's crying to the camera. At that point, I wrote, who cares?
Who cares?
It's Johnny. Just break it off and go have dinner with the crew. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
And then they broke up and that was it.
She wanted to see if he was at a place where they could get engaged. Johnny clearly was not. Had no interest.
Didn't even cross his mind.
I'm not even going to give you any morsel of information that I'm close to being engaged. It's not a possibility at this point.
No. He said that to his mom at his hometowns, and I believe his dad, and his dad was like, just do it.
He almost said, I don't think he can even see her, them together after this. I think I can see myself with you after this. I don't know. It kind of scares me. And that was okay, what are we doing?
I'll say something about that more at the end, but this season, the leads have had fewer one-on-one dates than normal. Mm-hmm. All these people have had less time with the lead than normal, which is already a small amount of time.
Cocktail hour after cocktail hour, canceled.
Canceled, fewer one-on-one dates. No shit, Johnny isn't going to propose to Gabby. That's insane.
Yeah.
Even a fake proposal, if you want to pretend these are not real proposals, why would he? Of course not.
No. I don't even know if I like you.
They barely know each other.
They barely know each other.
They had a date where they sat in some beer. I don't recall Johnny's nighttime portion. I'm sure it was at a church. I think he was surprised this was a little bit of vulnerability. But really, this is not a relationship that's like... a serious one.
No,
never has been.
This is not a serious relationship. No. She said, we just want two different things. Then gives them a lip kiss. These kids these days, Rim.
They throw out kisses like you wouldn't believe.
There's too
many
lip
candy.
Kisses.
Yeah.
That's a cheek kiss situation on a breakup. You don't kiss on the lips when you have other boyfriends.
That's a handshake situation. Maybe a high five
handshake,
situation.
Handshake, hug, high five, cheek kiss.
See ya.
At the max. Not a lip kiss. Mm-mm. No, sir.
Well, after the breakup, they both seemed like they just wanted to still stay on the beach, though, because it was such a beautiful scene. They were both kind of hanging out, and Johnny was like, do we have to leave, or? Cut to Jason telling Jesse he's not quite there when it comes to falling in love with Gabby.
Yeah, this is when, okay, so we already know Tino is the winner. We know that.
Yes.
Now we're going to have, we know Gabby... specifically wants an engagement.
Only Eric is willing to do that.
Johnny is no longer here. Jason says he's not going to get engaged, so he's out of the picture.
And Jason was not like, I don't know.
Jason
was pretty certain.
I'm definitely not.
At hometowns and here. He's like, No.
No way, no how. No chance I'm getting engaged. Nope.
So yeah, even you could say at this point you knew who you were ending up with.
It was either those two or nobody.
Yeah.
Or the options.
There's no other options.
There's no other options point. And we still had, I think, is this still night one?
This is the first episode.
So we still had a whole nother night.
Yeah.
And we knew
and
the
we
winners.
Got two more episodes.
And we have two more after this. And we know the winners.
Yeah. It's a bad season, AB.
It's a bad spot. We were on a Monday of a two-night week. And we have two more episodes. We have three full episodes we need to do to get to the spot that we all know is happening.
I think
the only possibilities.
I think next week has the potential to be one of the most boring episodes in the show's history.
Because
they're only
going
to talk with the
that?
Two winners. Yeah, well, they have to save the Zach part for a week, keep us on the edge of our seat. That'll resolve itself in, I think, 5 minutes of screen time. And then we're going to have...
He's getting sent home.
Well, yes, of course. And then they're going to go on these two dates. I suppose Rachel will still have Avon.
Why?
But we know what's... I don't know, but she will. And then the... What are they going to talk about that is new information to us when we know
Listen
who the winners
to me.
Are here?
You can't make me. You cannot make me talk about that Avon date. I won't do it. I won't. I don't care.
The upcoming Avon date,
I will not be taking notes for. I'll watch it, but you can't, Rosecast Nation. You can't make me talk about it. I'm not going to. It's irrelevant.
Avon needs to talk to his agent, demand a trade to another season. He's a free agent.
Yes.
Gabby, quick diary writing when a note's at the door. So she let go of Johnny under the assumption that Jason was ready for an engagement.
Yeah.
Now, he has not communicated that to her, to my knowledge.
No, I don't think so.
I believe she's just saying Jason will get engaged, so that's why I'm lined up.
Jason seems like I'm ready to get engaged guy, to be fair.
In terms of just the
Some people seem like they're ready and some don't. Just, yeah, if you're more serious, basically, I think you're ready
basically,
for engagement.
If you're kind of boring,
I think you're ready for engagement. That's all that means.
You said that, and I kind of knew what you were saying, even though he never indicated that. I was like, yeah, he does.
Like, Jason and Zach remind me of the same, like, yes. I considered them both very ready for engagement for no reason.
There's a note at the door. Meet me at the bridge, signed by no one. She was expecting her grandpa, which would have been hilarious.
Would have been better.
Oh, yeah.
For everyone.
I like this segment, and here's why.
Oh.
So it's Eric, and he wants Gabby to know how he feels about overnights with other partners, given where they, as a duo, feel their relationship is. Gabby said, dude, we already talked about this. Why are you doing it in front of the cameras? So... production presented a storyline opportunity and the lead explicitly denied to participate in the storyline.
No, thank you.
That was the drama, not the disagreement with Eric. They had already, it kind of wasn't even a disagreement we found. It was Gabby being upset.
Gabby was upset because they already talked about, we discussed this off camera. There was no need to bring this onto camera. Someone has talked you into doing this, obviously.
Of course.
Because you got the note card, so it wasn't spontaneous.
Did he get a cash bonus or something? To
yeah,
bring
like, who told you to do that? Why did you do this? We already talked about this.
That to me was a little fourth wall breaking.
It was fourth like, wall breaking, yeah.
I'm not filming this segment, basically.
I'm not doing this right now, yeah.
But they had to splice together enough footage from and various quotes to make it seem like Eric's feelings about this were a potential deal breaker for Gabby, which I don't think that was ever the case.
I also don't think Eric even cared anymore. Like, he's kind of, once she said that, he's like, yeah, this is fucking dumb. I didn't want it to go like this. You should see what they gave me back at my hotel room.
We have so many Home Depot gift cards now, Gabby.
Yeah, it's
of this.
All good. I was like, yeah, you got me. They told me to do this. It's...
We might get that down payment anymore. On the house because I did this.
Yeah.
She says, you want to get into it? And he's like, not really.
That's what he said. He said, not really.
Not really.
No.
I just said it to do this and
not
here
really.
We are.
No.
Let's take a quick break because this is the end of episode one.
End of the episode.
Even Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Start of Tuesday's episode. Eric and Gabby on the rocks. Is that it? Did Eric cross the line? Are his concerns unfair to Gabby? She returns and gives him a hug.
It's all good.
Seems to be fine. It seemed to me that Gabby was mainly upset that he did this on camera when it didn't seem necessary. That was her point of contention.
Absolutely.
I think.
Eric says he's in love with her, but terrified of losing her. He's just scared. Gabby says, your heart's in the right place. That's about it.
She's talking with Jesse, too, later, and says something to him about implying that it's over with Eric. It was very weird.
Yeah.
I thought Eric and Gabby left on good terms, and then she goes to Jesse and says, we're not meant to be. I knew it was too good to be true. Are you talking about Eric?
I don't know. They kissed at the end of that conversation. Eric basically apologized. He said, sorry, I didn't want it to go like this. I got tricked.
Gabby and Jason daytime. Jason hasn't told her how he feels yet, which typically means I haven't told her I love her yet. In this instance, it means I haven't told her I barely know her yet.
And I don't want to get engaged. I'd consider dating outside of this.
Yeah.
I haven't told her that yet.
Well, before that all went down with Jason, the tennis segment, although he might have been taking it a little too seriously, this is supposed to be a flirty segment, mm-hmm. Jason. You're supposed to like teach her how to hit and that kind of stuff. Instead he was like, let's do drills. But I felt like Jason was maybe the only time he was himself.
He's in his element. They said he played tennis in college. I'm sure he grew up playing tennis. That's one of his loves in life.
I think his voice changed. He just felt comfortable. It was the only time he's ever been comfortable on this show when he was playing tennis.
Agreed.
The next segment's at a pool, and they cut to Eric, making it seem like he could hear their echoes splashing around.
Definitely couldn't.
He's miles away. Jason and Gabby discuss their hometown, his hometown, and it was basically they have fun together. He feels good when he's with her, and they like being around each other. Gabby is falling in love with Jason.
They're having fun in that pool.
It was a cool pool setup.
Good pool.
Gabby and Jason date nighttime. Maybe my second favorite quote of the week was Jason talking about how he's not ready to get engaged and he's going to tell Gabby that. And he's said something like, I'm not sure how she'll take it. Hopefully well. Like, probably not, Jason.
Probably not, buddy. She's been pretty clear that she wants an engagement, buddy. It's not going to go well. See how this goes. I think it might go.
So he tells her after some bumbling stuff. I thought they were never going to get to it. So much mumbling around. It's just none of these people mumble on the show this season.
Jason said he's not there yet. I don't think in 7 days I'll be ready yet. I want to be transparent. She does not take it well.
No, she doesn't.
Obviously.
The breath leaves her body for a
second. Obviously, at that point, she realizes, like we realize, I am forced to choose Eric or nobody.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think. It depends on if this date occurred. I don't know when the dates occurred. But I mean, I don't know if she's gone on Eric's date yet. I don't trust anything anymore. But yes, you're correct. Then she asked him a question that I felt was extremely strange, followed up with an even stranger answer. So Jason says, I can't get engaged. It's not happening. It's not on the table for me. She asks him, like, can you be at a place where you can see me with you at all in the future?
Yeah, that's
at all.
He couldn't answer. He could not
even think
answer
about dating me. And then his answer was, he doesn't even know her yet.
It's so hard to see that in this bubble. Talking about the, you know, the bachelor bubble they're in. Because I don't feel like we know each other. So what are we doing here?
There are two possibilities, I think, with what he was saying. He could be saying, like, we haven't had a lot of authentic time together where we can totally be ourselves because I am... Jason is the number one all-time not comfortable on camera guy I've ever seen on this
show.
You're
not getting his full personality, he's saying.
No.
You're
so
saying.
He's trying... Maybe he's trying to communicate, like,
you don't
we haven't been
me
able to, like, be... Yeah, you don't know me. Nah, I don't know you at all.
All she asked was if you can possibly see a situation where maybe we could go on a date one time.
The answer to that is yes, if you're Jason,
yeah,
under all circumstances. Because
yes,
you're literally on a date when she's asking you this.
He couldn't answer it, though.
He couldn't answer it.
Can't guarantee you we'll even go on a single date after this is done. If you choose me, I cannot guarantee we will even date or try this outside of this.
Which led me to believe he wasn't saying, oh, we just haven't been able to be ourselves around each other. I think he was saying, I literally barely know you.
I think he was, too.
He meant what he said.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think I know. I don't know you. I don't know if I want to date you.
Which is, you know, a crazy thing to say to the bachelorette when you're at this point. You've just had hometowns. An engagement is coming around the corner, potentially. As a viewer, we're led to believe this relationship is ready for an engagement.
Yep. Doesn't know her.
But on paper, I mean... Every interaction they've had has been filmed with a bunch of people standing around. They've been on one date prior to this. They talk for a couple minutes every couple days. Like, that might be an accurate assessment.
Listen,
of
I don't,
their relationship.
I don't blame Jason for how he's acting or what he's saying. It was it's just very funny what he said based on her question. He could
yeah,
not.
That was a crazy response.
She was asking him, like, a step lower than the lowest step on Bachelor in Paradise. You know how you can get engaged on Paradise? You can leave together and then just decide if you want a date after. She went lower than that. She's like,
would you accept a date from
me? Yeah, would you accept a date outside of this? And he could not give her that answer.
He kind of didn't really. So she leaves. Jason gets up. He finds Gabby. He's trying to salvage his bad answer from before, and he says, maybe we can build on the conversation we just had and take another step in their relationship by spending some time together.
Gabby at one point also asks him, you need to decide if this show concept can work for you, basically.
It's too late for that. He's not going to decide that tonight.
If you can be like a hopeless romantic, I think she says something like that. Jason says, I'm more of a realist. I can't do that.
Yeah.
I'm giving you the answer. It's no. This show doesn't work for me. And I'm definitely not getting engaged. So for the life of me, I'm trying to figure out why they continued to the nighttime.
This was the least romantic fantasy suite invite of all time.
Are they done with fantasy suites, by the way?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just overnight dates now.
You mean this season?
Yeah. No, they're calling it fantasy suites. I don't think they call it that anymore. I feel like you had been calling for that.
Oh.
And I don't think they call it fantasy suites anymore. It's just overnight dates.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
You didn't catch that?
I didn't overnight, notice that they weren't saying fantasy
weren't
suites.
Weren't saying fantasy suites the whole time. Nobody was saying fantasy suites. It's overnight dates.
I've always thought fantasy suites
You've
is
always
a weird
said that.
Thing that, I mean,
just
yeah,
another
it's just weird.
Tip of them listening to us.
Maybe,
what we're saying.
Maybe, I don't know.
They weren't saying fantasy suites. They're called overnight dates now.
Fantasy suite, when I hear fantasy suite, I think of, like, I don't know, Tommy Lee Cribs, you know? more like, what's that? 50 Shades of Grey or something. Just like, whoa, your wildest dreams. And then they just go to a, you know, a resort bedroom. It's not that serious. Just call them overnight dates. Because that's what
that's
they
what
are.
They're doing.
Treat them,
overnight
they
dates.
Treat them like dates a lot of times. They talk for hours and hours and actually get to know one another.
It's the most important time of the whole season.
Exactly. Anyway. I think Gabby lost the plot here, is where I was going with that. She prefaced the overnight date after he accepted it with, you know, we got a lot to talk about, whatever, but what if we come out on top? Nothing can take us down if that's the case. And I was watching, like, given how Jason just described where the relationship is from his point of view, I'm pretty sure the stakes are not that high. Like, if you come out of the fantasy suite date getting along, that does not mean nothing can take you down. He's treating this like a first date.
Yeah, first date.
It's not.
Let's begin to get to know each other.
Exactly. Anything else on this?
Jason at one point says, I'm literally here for you. I wouldn't be here without you. It's like, this guy's talking like you would talk on the first episode. This is, of course you're here for her. It's overnight dates. There's three people left.
I think maybe he was saying, I'm not here for clout or whatever.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. And I don't know. Last thing, the kiss on the balcony. I thought my feed was frozen. I'm sorry. I had to check and see if I sat on the pause button.
Wasn't a lot of movement there.
And there wasn't a lot of... It didn't look like two people about to get engaged. Let's get it on.
There wasn't a lot of heat there.
It wasn't a lot of heat.
Okay.
It was
I can understand
frozen.
That.
It was like a couple of White Walkers.
A couple of White Walkers smooching.
Then I wrote here, the episode's dragging. Next morning, no innuendo, no music, pillows haven't been touched.
Bed is made and not slept in.
Spiders on the in the champagne. So it didn't go well.
No.
What did you think of when she visited Jason in his room?
Well, Gabby says, once we got behind closed doors, we were talking circles around each other and couldn't agree on how things were going to go. I think we all saw that coming. She was running out of patience, and then she just left. Then she went back to him. You know how Gabby does. You've already said it. She leaves, and then she comes back, and then hopefully, you know, she leaves, lets things cool down. She comes back. It's usually good. She did that during the fantasy suites, the overnight dates, excuse me. And it didn't get better.
Yeah, she left the overnight completely.
Yeah, but then she came back to the overnight, and apparently she said, I think this just is not meant to be. And Jason apparently said, yeah, definitely not. So then later the next morning, Gabby then has to do the breakup on camera. That's all this was for.
Sure.
Breakup on camera and to say goodbye to Jason. She goes to his room. They continue the conversation. Basically, nothing's happening here. And then they break up. That's it.
This whole arc was a kind of a reminder that the process does not work and probably shouldn't. This whole episode. We had multiple instances this episode of people talking to each other for the first time without cameras and realizing like, oh, we don't get along.
Don't like
I barely know what this...
Yeah.
We don't know each other's worldviews. Which it's easy to get. Gabby says she feels stupid because she thought she knew him and she doesn't. I mean, it's easy to get caught. Like when you only see the guy every now and then, it's always fun when you see him. You make out, you go to Paris, you meet the family. No bad things occurred. Of course you feel like it's going pretty good.
Then you get behind closed doors, start talking.
Nitty gritty. I hate being around
I don't
you.
Like this. Yeah. I don't like talking
this
to you.
Sucks. We don't like the same things.
This stinks.
This isn't fun at all.
I'm having a bad time with you.
I didn't comprehend Jason's full stance here because he didn't explain it well and we didn't see their alone time. Obviously, if he felt this way, hometowns are the point of no return.
Yeah.
If you feel this way, you have to say this before hometowns.
Agreed.
Going through the thing with your family and then meeting him in Mexico is like an implicit I'm at least ready to date you in the, after we stop filming, which he was not.
Yeah. I didn't love how Jason handled this. At all.
Not cut out for anything that he participated in.
He signed up for a reality TV dating show.
He should not have.
You should not have, for one, but then you should have also just left a long time ago. Like, this is absurd how you're acting. He's actually acting absurd based on where he's at in a reality dating TV show. Like, I understand that how he say what he's talking about is reasonable in the sense of, you know, how much they've talked to each other and all that, but
you can't let it get to
you can't let it get that far if you have that stance on everything and you feel that way about her.
I don't think he he should have done a little more research about what each stage of the yes, show meant. Yes. I don't think he understood the gravity of.
Agreed.
Anyway, Rachel, Zach, daytime. Everything's going great for Rachel. Perfect.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to care about this Rachel date when Gabby's in the situation that she was in. I had a real hard time here.
I'm not sure they went to a break either. That's one editing thing I right loved is that they're not going to breaks. They're whiplashing big time. L-word update. Zach is in love with Rachel. Rachel says she's falling in love with him to the camera.
Yep.
She knows Zach is ready for engagement. Keep that information in mind for later. She knows it. His family was the most welcoming. Yep. He's stated as much.
Said it. Yep.
They're at a bar. Zach sweating through his shirt.
Tequila shots.
Choking down tequila. Been there, brother. Oh, it's great. Great, thank you. It's really, you can really taste the tequila. He had a great backyard. They have some fun at the shops. Rachel jokes about him buying a ring. I don't know. I think some of these lines are, they're throwaway lines, but in the full scope of the picture.
It might be leading someone on.
The tarot card reader somehow knew that Rachel has a big decision coming up.
You know, I didn't really enjoy these two, to be honest with you, Rip. Didn't like their back and forth.
I like Zach. I think you are, you know, you boring eyes Zach. I don't know if that's
I'm okay with Zach.
I think you think Zach is more boring than he is.
I'm okay with Zach. I think he's boring and not entertaining.
I think on most other seasons, he would be down at the bottom, but we have Jason. We have Eric.
Even Avon is boring.
At least Avon smiles.
These are boring people.
I think Zach is, I like Zach. And plus they're positioning him well.
I just noted here that these two together are annoying to me. Like, I wouldn't want to go on a double date with them. They're doing like the going around the city doing stuff. I wouldn't want to be involved.
You'd across the street.
I would have, you know, made an excuse to get out of there.
All right, let's move to the nighttime then. Zach, confident. His whole thing is, I'm ready to propose.
I'm ready to go.
No one's more ready than me.
Nobody, that's his main thing. You know, I'm ready. Nobody can say they're more ready than me.
A nice little toast. We haven't seen many toasts.
I don't remember any toasts.
I don't know if we've seen any toasts.
I don't remember a single toast.
3 for 3 now. This time last season with Clayton was when it went haywire. And he says, oh, I understand that. Don't want to put you in a bad position.
You don't have to say it to me.
Then he tells Rachel he's in love with her.
Yep.
Fantasy suite invite. Next morning, another ominous morning after.
The chemistry's way off in the morning.
It was as if they didn't know each other. They had just met to film the scene.
Awkward conversation between these two. I wrote here, y'all are being weird. What the fuck is going on?
So weird.
Why are you two acting like this?
Well, back to acting, it seemed like they were both trying out. They were doing a table read for a scene. It felt weird.
It felt weird.
And she was saying weird things.
It was weird.
She said, it was a tough conversation, but I'm glad you handled it well. Hopefully it helped you gain clarity. What does that mean?
He's clear. Crystal clear. He wanted to get engaged.
But it seems like hopefully you know now that like it's not going to be. I don't know. It just seemed like
I don't know what they were doing. Why are you two still here?
Very strange. Then Zach to the camera, close to tears.
Tears.
Reveals it was, in fact, a disaster.
Yeah.
Naturally, the best thing to do in this situation is visit Jesse Palmer. See if he can help you figure this out.
Comes crying on Jesse's doorstep.
Blowing his nose, and Jesse's looking at him like, I would be caught dead blowing my nose. That's a sign of weakness, buddy.
You know Jesse was looking through that. The people didn't want to open it.
Oh, shit, it's Zach.
It's fucking Zach. He's a terrible time.
Looks like crazy. Zach's a good time. So Zach to the camera mentioned the reason it went so bad is because Rachel brought up her fear that he's not ready for marriage at his age.
That's the most absurd thing I've ever heard.
I didn't know their ages. He described that as a bullshit excuse because he is 25 and she is 26. He also said he felt she was putting on a front.
Yeah. Now,
I felt kind of this whole season.
The whole season has been that.
Zach's opinion is the inverse. He thinks that Rachel in front of the cameras has been authentic.
No,
and then when
Zach,
the cameras went away,
you got it twisted,
you're so
Zach. You're very close. She fakes to the camera. This is also where I noted I do not fuck with Rachel anymore. Mm. It became obvious to me that she's been faked to the camera the whole time. I had my suspicions.
There are theories, though.
Well, here's the thing. So they get behind closed doors and she brings up this. And it seems like according to him, she was different. And then when she gets back to Jesse again, like before the rose ceremony, she's like, everything's good here. It's like, no,
everything's
it's actually
perfect.
Not.
Well, she doesn't care. The Zach issue is a non-issue because he's not getting a rose. It doesn't matter.
But she said all three dates went well.
Yeah.
It's like, you're just saying stuff as the Bachelorette.
Well, and they filmed that scene, which was so bizarre. As if everything was fine.
Yeah, they filmed the scene after the overnight when it went horrible.
I think it's possible that if the age conversation occurred, I think she was using that as a way to
just
get him to self-eliminate.
Yeah.
So that it's not blood on her hands. Because I think Rachel cares about coming off really well.
That's what I thought too.
And is concerned about not hurting people's feelings and not being, you know, the bad guy.
I 100% agree with that. I think she was using this as a way out.
Other possibility is this was not the big conflict.
Oh.
Zach played along with production, used it as, you know, an easy way out for the both of them, I suppose.
So what was the real conflict?
Set him up.
Set him up for what?
The Bachelor.
Zach?
Zach. I think you have a minority opinion about Zach. I think Zach is more likable than
you can't
sits
have a
with
guy
you.
With that voice be the Bachelor.
Sure. I think you can only have a guy with that voice be the Bachelor. It's me, Zach, the Bachelor.
It's kind of Batman, broody.
You know that
Batman.
TikTok guy who splits the wood? That's the thing the voice does. Oh my God, that voice. Also, maybe the age thing is real, but if she really was worried about
what do you mean
age,
real? They're a year apart, Rim. What do you mean?
No, maybe it really occurred. That was
the real
conflict.
Yeah.
Maybe that conflict actually occurred and that was the reason.
How is that a conflict, though?
It's not, but I'm saying maybe they actually discussed it because the alternative would be that, you know, religion or politics got in the way and they're using this as a way out of that.
Why would they choose something like that, though? That's so insane.
It doesn't make any sense. I don't know.
It's like you can come up with anything.
The show asks us to suspend disbelief. But let's say the age thing was the real conflict. Talk about something that could have been. I mean, she's known his age the whole time.
It's her age.
But I'm saying if it was a real concern of hers.
How could that possibly be a real concern? There's no scenario that's a real concern. She's either using this as an out, or what you said, the producers are using it as an out. Someone's using this thing
age.
As an out.
Agreed.
No one actually has that concern in this scenario. There's no chance.
I think Rachel wanting to use it as an out so the blood's not on her hands was the likeliest is
Zach seems mature for his age, too. I would not have guessed he's 25. Yes. I would have thought he's 32. Easy.
Yes.
So it doesn't make any sense.
When his name pops, or his age pops up on the screen. I'm like, what?
25.
Yeah. I agree.
Guy's mature.
I felt the scene with Jesse for Zach was a bachelor edit type of scene. They did something similar with Andrew on Katie's season.
Hmm.
It was his last scene type of thing. And they were like, oh, maybe Andrew will be the best. They just do that just in case. I think Zach's now an option, depending on how this goes next week.
Hmm.
Then there's a little part where Gabby seems to be coming to grips with the fact that her person's not here. Eric's looking out over the ocean. Avon shirtless, pretending to smooth out his clothes. He just walked up to his suit and his shirt, and he was just like kind of touching him. Get these ready. Rose ceremony.
Getting a rose ceremony.
Avon, things are going great. Can't wait to be married. It just... Zach steps out of the Chevy, becoming the Joker before our eyes. That smile is gone. This is his villain origin story.
It's villain origin.
Zach is ready to burn it all down.
I would love evil Zach.
Yeah, it'd be great. I didn't recognize him when he was in the rose ceremony room because of the scowl on his face. I'm like, usually Zach is just smiling.
Yeah.
Rachel arrives, like you said, perfect week. Everything went
good
great.
Week. Hey, Rachel, you remember the girl you said was your best friend? She's not going to be here. She's having a really hard time. Oh, okay. That's great. I'll take over. I've been waiting for this moment.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
I've been waiting for this. That's the vibe she gave. She didn't even ask what happened.
She said, it's
like,
gonna
why
be weird
is Gabby not
going to
be
but
here?
I'm ready.
I'm ready. I was born ready to be the bachelorette.
We're calling you up to the big leagues. It's just you.
Just lacks sincerity to me. I'm sorry.
You're starting. Taking the mound tomorrow. Also, Jesse didn't tell her why Gabby wasn't there.
Why did she not ask her him?
Maybe they cut it out.
Because she doesn't care.
Maybe they cut it out. We also don't know, I guess, again, chronologically, if the Gabby and Eric,
I'm just taking it the
reunion
what,
have occurred.
How I yeah. saw.
I know. I agree.
And it fits with my, you know, anti-Rachel
yes.
opinion now. So I'm just going to keep rolling.
Zach waits until Rachel touches a rose to ask, can we speak? I can't get that low.
Can't get that low.
Rachel, come. I can't. I'm trying. Can we speak? I can't do it. Rachel, can we speak? Meanwhile, more whiplash, cut to Gabby and Eric. She visits Eric's room. We're unsure, okay, is this it for them, or are they going to get together? She starts off saying, like, we've been had some misunderstandings, but music shifts. You taught me how I want to be treated, she says. Puts her hand on his shoulder and says she loves him. To the camera, Gabby says Eric's the best thing that's ever happened to her. How are you feeling during this moment, AB?
I just couldn't get out of my head that this choice was forced upon her. She has no other choice.
Or a choice was to not continue with Eric.
Yeah, but it's him or nothing.
That was the choice.
So, it lacked something for me. It's not like she was picking him.
I think she would have picked him anyway. I choose
Maybe.
To believe she would have picked him anyway, so that's why it felt a little better for me. They were also in casual clothing on a couch, so it wasn't quite the same as, you know, Sean and Catherine.
Yeah.
I think this is the only couple that has a snowball's chance in hell of making it out of this long term.
Mm.
So it felt good to me.
Felt good to you? Okay.
I like this scene.
No, you like this scene. Okay.
Yeah, I mean...
They're pumped.
What she's saying is sincere.
Yeah, they're happy. I take Gabby at her word, I suppose. So, yeah. Good for them.
Gabby's voice naturally makes it seem like she's not excited. She sounds the same when she's angry as when she's thrilled, the happiest moment of her life. So
absolutely.
She would say stuff like, Eric is definitely the love of my life. And that's kind of how it sounded.
Yeah.
It wasn't a lot of, you were being whisked away and riding, no. you know, the clouds.
Eric says he loves her.
Do you think he does?
Yeah. I think so. I don't think he would have brought her home without, if he didn't have real love.
You're saying his hometown had more weight to it than the others.
It was a unique situation where I don't think he would have brought just anyone home.
Yeah.
Or for the cameras or something like that. He didn't need to have his dad on camera. I think he genuinely wanted her to meet him.
I agree. So, I like this. I'm happy for him. And I think they're probably still together. It felt weird, like you said, because they immediately cut to drama with Zach and Rachel. That's how Gabby's big moment ended.
Yeah.
Was like, here.
Are they going to have another moment, or is this the end of it until like the reunion?
I would hope there is another date and the tension is, will he propose or not? And then he does.
Yeah, because he's got to meet her family too.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
I always forget about the Leeds families.
I do too. I watched what's coming up next, and her grandpa's there, so I knew it was coming. It's not over. But
this scene felt like it was
the finale.
Final. Yeah. Yes. But they cut to the thing with Zach and Rachel, and that's how Gabby's big moment ends. A potential blowout between two of their characters. Just felt like the short shrift. After that segment, we mentioned Jesse in the bunker.
Boiler room.
In the boiler room, like Mankind.
Boiler room brawl.
Boiler mutant match. It'd be great if Chris Harrison came out of the corner with a chair. Do you have any predictions for the finale?
Jesse goes, I know you're all very eager to see what happened. Yeah, you mean the show you promised us? The what this episode was supposed to end with? And is every year? Yeah, I was eager to see that, Jesse. Nothing's going to happen with Zach, right? He's just going to get sent home. I think she's going to be with Tino.
But you watched
crying.
Conflict.
I saw Gabby crying. That concerns me.
Hopefully he was crying from another scenario, or hopefully he was crying like maybe he doesn't want to get engaged.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Hopefully it's just some other. Yeah.
My guess is it's like Peter season. It's post proposal.
Oh.
We had to go to where they are in film drama.
Okay.
I feel like Tino might have called. I don't know any spoilers. I feel like Tino, they're engaged. He goes home, you know.
They call it the most emotional finale of all time every season. But the way Jesse was looking at that camera.
There's no way.
It felt like he meant it, Rim.
Well, Jesse must not have seen Ari and Becca live stream breakup split screen.
That's true.
Stop it. Don't,
he says, get yourself ready and prepare yourself for the most shocking finale of all time. No. He's looking right in my eyes.
I don't want him to I don't want to lose trust in Jesse, but I think he's
right now. This could be the end of it, though.
No chance. This season has not had anything like that.
I watched what's coming up next. It seems like they're all in a horror movie. Like, get me out of here. What three or four people say to the camera, get me out. I got to get out of here. This is a nightmare. So what's happening? I have no idea what's happening.
I found these two episodes to be kind of a bummer because we had two instances of people being together without cameras for the first time and then realizing like, oh, we don't like each other at all. It's untenable. We have different worldviews.
It's interesting.
It's not interesting, though. I'm kind of tired of it because that happened with Tayshia and Evan, or Ivan as well.
That's true.
Like, oh, you're religious and I don't believe in God. Like, oh, we like in the real world, we never would have, like, the first date wouldn't have finished. So why would I get invested in any of these relationships this season when they're shorter than normal, they spend less time together than normal. And then at the end, like half of them are like, oh yeah,
I'm not invested in any of them. I'm not rooting for anybody.
I'm rooting for Gabby and Eric.
I'm rooting for Gabby. I don't necessarily care about Eric.
Well, yeah, that Eric is.
So I guess I am with, I'm rooting for basically nobody.
Yeah. Okay. With that in mind, if you don't know, the rest of the season schedule is next week, finale part one, the week after that, finale part two, followed by After the Final Rose, followed by Paradise on the 27th, which we're all looking forward to.
So they're calling next week a part of the finale?
Yeah, it was confusing. He referred to it as the finale next week, but there are 2 weeks of the finale.
Okay. Hate that.
Yep. Mailbag. I wouldn't have this season end any other way. Just sad and confused.
Putter to the end.
Yes, it's puttering. It is crawling to the finish line. Mailbag. Last week's question was, how do we fix the tell-alls? I should have teased this at the top because we had some very creative responses. So thank you to everyone who texted in. A lot of people were like AB. They were getting some shit off their chest in this mailbag.
Okay.
About the tell-alls. Start with Angel in Seattle. This season's tell-all was the worst episode of television I've ever watched, hands down. You hear that? The worst episode ever.
Yeah, I heard her.
Of television.
I heard her.
I usually tolerate a tell-all for the drama, but it had zero drama.
No drama.
And the fact that they cut a rose ceremony in favor of what was basically a series of advertisements is just insulting. My suggestions for improving it are, one, require the villains to be there. Bribe them, trick them, I don't care, but they have to go or there's no episode. Two, if they must do ads, at least make them relevant to the season and involve the cast in a more fun way, something that's actually entertaining to the audience at home. Maybe some silly competitions or games that tie into whatever they're promoting, or a sponsored prize that the cast can vote to give to another cast member. I'm thinking like the Miss Congeniality prize on RuPaul's Drag Race. Do better, ABC. Thank you, Angela. 701 area code. I can't stand the mental all. And this was probably the worst one ever. Basically, what we are presented with is a fabricated and heavily produced version of inconsequential men tell us nothing at all, and not the men tell all. This was the least dramatic episode ever. The way to start to fix the tell-all would be to actually have people we want to hear from tell us something interesting and not overproduce it, i.e. fake audience members, signs made by assistants, ad placements, gimmicks, fake audience responses, etc. No offense to Billy Eichner, I love him, but 90 minutes of a Billy Eichner ad, a weird frat boy display from Meatball, a dissertation on Robbie's new hairdo, and an extended Virgin Cruise ad have nothing whatsoever to do with the men telling all and are not my idea of can't miss TV. Even the minimal portions I was vaguely interested in, Nate and Logan, seemed completely rehearsed and gave me nothing I already didn't know. It was a complete and utter waste of my time, and it's offensive that they tried to pass this off as entertainment. Love the pod. Thanks, 701.
Thank you. Love the pod.
Grace, I agree this was the worst tell-all of all time. My ideas. Fewer people. Limited to contestants who went really far, have VIP star potential, or villains. Next, you need the villains. Hayden not being there but being on Paradise is preposterous. We should have seen the clips of the horrible things he said, and he should have had to been there to address them. New addressing social media segment where they dive into the biggest scandals and conspiracies. Example, Logan's weird COVID exit. I would have liked to hear about that. A segment where Jesse reads funny superlatives, i.e. best bromance, biggest pot stir, and the contestants vote.
Mm.
A little hold the signs up. Little hey, I'll,
that's fun.
Crown the best moment, bracket style. Pick several of the best clips, put them head to head, and let the audience live vote until there's a winning segment. Unseen moments segment and or longer bloopers. This is a... Grace, I'm with you on this. The bloopers are 90 seconds. There's like three different types of blooper.
It should be 15 minutes.
They must have so much quality footage and we're missing out on it because the show takes itself too seriously. Thank you, Grace. Cat from New York, the tell-alls and After the Final Rose episodes are unwatchable. And I think they've gotten worse in recent years because of TikTok. By the time they film these episodes, the contestants have spent weeks watching themselves get glorified or roasted by Bachelor Nation on TikTok, which in turn drives headlines. It's as if they are able to see the exam before they have to take it live on the show. This results in boring, canned answers from the cast that nobody needs or cares to hear. They need to find a way to shake things up. Thanks, Kat. I agree, though, more broadly, the internet in general.
Yeah. Yep.
Leona from Asheville. I now also actively avoid the mental all, but thanks to Avon's date, I watched this last one, the worst one yet. If they do continue, I would rather they follow the format of The Real Housewives. I think viewer questions sent in would be a better use of time, and we might actually get some information out of the men. You know, like the episode is called The Men Tell All. Thank you, Leona. I agree. Frankie from Michigan. I hate the current format of the tell-alls. This is an accurate, this is a cross-section of the responses we got, by the way. It's a relic from
hate.
It's 100%. Like 100%. Matt James is the last Bachelor. That's what it was. It's a relic from another era of reality TV. The live audience with their fake, over-the-top reactions, people yelling over each other, the host having no control or role other than to introduce the chaos. It's very Jerry Springer. There are other reality shows on air right now who do these kinds of reunions really well. Love is Blind and Married at First Sight come to mind. The hosts have control over the contestants. No one speaks over each other, and they don't have to yell, ever. They also ask good questions. Questions the audience wants answers to. Hard-hitting questions. Directly to a person. They're moderating a conversation. Finally, and I think there used to be more of this, there needs to be a new information revealed. It's not a tell-all right now. It's a rehashing of stuff we already know. Give us behind the scenes, loosen the NDA a little bit, and let contestants talk about things that were edited out. We should have heard from Logan about COVID. Lovid. That wasn't touched on at all. The tell-all can be saved. They've been borrowing from Love Island for BIP, so maybe they'll take notes from other shows on the tell-alls too. Thank you, Frankie. I like that in the context of other reality shows.
Mm-hmm.
This one's behind.
Agreed.
Gabe from Somerville, Mass. Lately there has been too much humanizing of the contestants during tell-alls. These people are characters on a television show, and I want to maintain that illusion. I think the tell-all should be adapted into a game show format, where contestants have to answer the questions about their journeys, and the more embarrassing or juicy the response, the more points they get based on the crowd reaction measure on a screamometer. Also throw in some minute-to-win-it games where the rival contestants who despise each other have to team up to wrap each other in a full roll of toilet paper. I'm unfamiliar with minute-to-minute games, so I have to stick me.
Just little quick games you play and... You know, little fun games. Nothing to see here. Games make things better.
Of course. I've just never seen these words in this order before. Oh. Who despise each other have to have them team up to wrap each other in a full roll of toilet paper? Or throw and catch marshmallows?
Yeah, hell yeah.
In
minute
their
to win
mouth
it.
From across the stage?
Hell yeah. Minute to win it, baby.
Thank you, Gabe. Relatedly, Gabe says, my best friends Miles and Allie are getting married this weekend, which I presume means this past weekend. It's in the past now. And they would be tickled to get a little shout out. So congratulations, Miles and Allie.
Oh, congratulations, Miles and Allie.
Congratulations. To paint a picture, and I'll throw this in here too, because Gabe deserves credit for this great description. To paint a picture, Miles is as witty and as funny as Wells, and as sweet and as earnest as Brandon. Young Brandon from Michelle season. Great combo.
That's a great combo.
And Allie is as poised and lovely as Tayshia and as goofy and genuine as Gabby. What a couple. I feel like I know them.
Okay. Wow. Wow.
Congratulations on your wedding. Hopefully everything
Congratulations.
Went great. A couple other ones. 515 area code. Can someone do an episodic analysis of something? I feel like whoever the lead picks to go into the fantasy suite first is their top choice, right? How often does this hold true? 515.
Hmm.
You want to go to Bachelor Data on Instagram, the premier source for the most specific analysis you can imagine. That's that.
Good question, though.
631, can we please get confirmation that AB will be dusting off the Bachelor in Paradise pyramid this season?
Oh, the pyramid will be here. I forgot all about it until they said that. I forgot
about it, too.
Can someone explain to me what my pyramid was? I don't remember.
Yeah, we need someone to write it.
I think it was based
pyramid.
On, you know, what level of
yes.
person they are to the franchise. And
so
I was
for
looking
example,
at Insta-
Becca was
I was
the
remember
top of the
I was
pyramid.
Scouring Instagram followers for the whole summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's coming back, baby.
I would a tip from me to you, the number of Instagram followers they have should be, for example, like Hannah Godwin was huge in your pyramid, top of the pyramid because of how many she had. I would tamp that down a little bit and put more of AB into it, more of how AB feels about where this person stands. And
the Instagram, I'll look at the Instagram. It's a part of it, but a lesser part. I hear you. Okay. Yeah. It's coming back. Of course it is.
Okay.
Thank
you
for reminding me, or otherwise it would not have came back. Cause I
no
did
chance
not have not thought about that pyramid since the last episode of last summer.
Kirby and Pasadena, last one. You guys were laughing about recommending the podcast to people who no longer watch the franchise, and we got a couple of these, but I'm one of those people and would argue that we are one of your target audiences.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm a longtime Rose. It's weird that you know about this group of people that don't watch the show and listen. I'm a longtime Rosecast listener, but the last time I watched a show was Claire and Tayshia's season of 2020. Unbelievable that was 2 years ago already. I don't keep up with the franchise in any other way, and I wouldn't even be able to identify. And I wouldn't be able, I'm not sure it's true. Honest to God, I don't know. I feel like it was last year. And I wouldn't even be able to identify any of the recent leads if I saw them in a photo. Yet I continue to listen to the podcast and find it just as enjoyable as I did before, possibly more enjoyable now because I don't have to sit through the hours of contestants talking about being vulnerable and authentic. former watchers like me understand the show, so we get the context for all the dumbass shit that goes on. I almost self-edited there. That goes on, and we can appreciate your recaps. I never miss an episode of the Roastcast, and I will continue listening even though I don't plan on ever watching the show again. P.S. I also love the Patreon show. Thank you, Kirby.
Thank you
for
very
the
much.
Kind words and
Thank
that
you.
Plug.
Yes, good plug.
Rose League scoring update. Oh, sorry. Question for next week. It'd be 773-234-7794.
I don't have a good one.
Who are you rooting for? What do you think of?
There's no one to root for.
Gabby and
There's
Eric?
No one to root for. There's no one to care about.
Who are you excited to see in Paradise?
Didn't I think we already did that. Or else I would have done that.
Do you have a headline of the week?
Hell no. There's not looking at those. I almost saw a spoiler right now.
All
in
right.
Fact.
Understood. Understood. this week's, well, we got to wrap this up. This week's Rose League scoring update winners are Team Odd Girl 86 and Team HJ Kaufman. Send us a message on Instagram, clap, and then, or the mailbag, and we'll get you a sticker.
Good job.
Overall standings, Team Ally Fitz has a 1-point lead over Team Pessimism. We have a very close race for
top
spot in the overall standings, so that'll be fun to watch going down to the wire. Thank you so much for listening. AB, anything else?
Nope, we're good.
All right. Talk to you later.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.